Hallelujah. You know, while she was given that, the Lord spoke to me, and I believe this is for someone that's here or someone that's going to listen to this tape later. The Lord said, too many of you are satisfied right where you're at. Right where you're at financially. You say, well, I've got enough for myself. I'm happy. I don't have to. The Lord said, forget it. You need to start thinking bigger and better. You need to start thinking promotion. You need to start thinking bigger and better jobs. Because he said, my people are supposed to be blessed. They're supposed to be prosperous. And they're supposed to be have more than enough to help anybody else and do any good work. And you can't do that if you're just so-so. Amen? And I don't know if it's one of you or two of you or three of you or somebody that's going to listen to this tape, but the Lord said, you got to quit being satisfied right where you're at and start thinking bigger. Thinking blessed, amen? Because you're supposed to be blessed. Blessed beyond measure. Remember what it said in Malachi chapter 3? I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you can't contain. That's what he wants to do for us. And we're not supposed to just sit back and let it happen. It's not going to happen if we just sit back. You gotta step out there and do something to make it happen. Amen? Seed time and harvest. Whatever you sow, you're going to get back. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is good. I hadn't heard that. My wife didn't share that with me. Not the actual message. She said something about a packet of seeds. You know? But that was good. How many of you like that, huh? I thought it was awesome. Amen? What the Lord can do with just common folk like us. Amen?
Amen?
I think back about what the Lord has done for me and with me, and all I can do is shake my head. I don't know how he's done it. Amen? Well, it's interesting. Her message kind of ties in with mine. I wanted to talk tonight. Actually, the Holy Ghost wanted me to talk to you about an invitation to the abundant life. Amen? I believe that the Lord has given every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth this invitation to an abundant life. Amen? But I believe that he's relying on us as Christians now, who should have already attained that abundant life, to take that message to the rest of the world. Those that don't know him yet can't possibly experience the abundant life that he has for them until they come to know him. Amen? And I believe that in this last times, and I've seen it since Tommy was here, I know of at least one other church that the pastor's been spoken to by the Lord to get a street evangelism thing going. I believe that he's calling his people home. Those that he knows are going to accept him, it's time to call them home, because I believe time's getting short. I'm not going to try and tell you when, because I don't know. I just believe it's short. Short for him, short for me, it doesn't matter. Short. Amen? So tonight, I'm going to teach from, let me change mics. Go ahead and open your Bible to Isaiah 55. Amen? Isaiah 55. If I take you anywhere else, make sure you put your marker in 55, because we're going to stay in Isaiah 55 tonight. Amen? If I take you off to another, Dan, can you bring that volume up a little bit on my mic? Hallelujah. Maybe the battery went dead. Hallelujah. Is it coming out, guys? Okay. Isaiah 55, the abundant life. I'm just going to read verse 1 to you right now. Isaiah 55, I'm in the New King James. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. If you haven't amplified, turn over to Isaiah 55 in there. I'm going to read you verse 1 from there. Because I believe that he's calling right here the people who don't know him yet, who can't afford it, to come and buy the spiritual wine or the new wine of the Holy Ghost and the milk of the living Word through him. Even though this is Old Testament, he's prophesying the coming of Jesus and what we must do and what people must do in order to get that abundant life. Amen? In Isaiah 55, 1, in the Amplified, here's what it reads. Wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy the priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessings. Well, what's that self-surrender? Accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord, calling upon him and asking him to be your Lord and Savior. Amen? Now, if you're already a Christian, you should already be living the abundant life. You shouldn't have to call on him again. Amen? We should be out there telling everybody else what the abundant life is. We should be a living example of it. They should want, no, they should crave and desire what we have. If they're not coming to you and asking you what you've got, you better take a close look at yourself. And I'm talking to myself. I mean, I'm working in an office where people knew me before I became a Christian. And those same people are still working there. And I've had more than one of them come by my desk, sit down and want to talk about what changed my life. Amen? Talk about sticking your foot in a door once it got open. They came to me. Does that mean that I led every one of them to the Jesus? No. But I told them what he'd done for me. I told them what they could have if they would accept him. A couple of them have accepted him. Amen? So if you got to be an example of that abundant life. Amen? Hallelujah. Just take a look at John 7:37. What does it say? I mean, I can quote it, but Jesus said this. He said, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Abundant rivers of living water. See, you can have that abundant life just by calling on him. John chapter 4, verse 14. "But whoever drinks," he's talking to the woman at the well now, "but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give them will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Jesus wants us to have the abundant life, and the prophet Isaiah prophesied it long before Jesus was ever on the scene. Amen? Because Jesus was hidden here. He was foretold. Amen? Look at Revelation 21. And verses 6 and 7. "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts.'" All you got to do is thirst for it, hunger after it, ask for it. Amen? Revelation 22:17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." How do you get it? Call on Jesus. Surrender your life. Let him become your Lord. That doesn't mean lip service on Sunday morning. Doesn't mean coming and sitting in a church one day a week, or maybe even 2 days a week. It means letting him run your life. Amen? I'm not a car because I stand in my garage. I'm not a Christian because I sit in a church pew. I'm a Christian because I walk and talk like Jesus did. In fact, you want to know the truth? I don't consider myself a Christian yet. Don't look at me like that. I'm a work in progress. I'm not there. I am not there. I'm trying to be a Christian. I'm trying to do the walk and the talk that Jesus did. But I'm human. I fail once in a while. And when I fail, I get on my face and I say, "Lord, forgive me. I can't do this by myself. I need your help. Amen? Why do you spend money? Verse 2 in Isaiah. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages. Now, what is bread? What does bread represent here? Food? I think it represents food here. Just food in general. Okay? How many of you think that that food could be spiritual food, though? I think that's what it means here myself. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy you? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Amen? Jeremiah 31:12 and 12 through 14 says this. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord. For wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd, their souls shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all. Verse 13, then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men in the old, together, for I will turn their mourning to joy. That's not mourning like AM, that's mourning like sadness into joy. I will comfort them and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. Verse 14, I will satiate the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. You know what that word satiate means? That means flooded over. Beyond the point where the soul can contain it anymore. I will satiate the soul of the priests with abundance. Are you a priest? I am. If you're a son or a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a priest. He already told us we were prince, that we are priests. Amen? Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, verse 3. Incline my ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Incline your ear and come to me. Does that sound familiar? How about Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20? Amen? Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now you can go on. There's some more things. You need to put away a deceitful mouth and perverse lips. You got to watch what you say, in other words. Amen. Verse 20 in the Amplified reads this way. Attend to my words, consent, and submit to my sayings. Not just incline your ear. Attend to my words, consent, and submit to my sayings. In other words, get my word in front of you, read it, agree with it, and then do what it says. Amen? Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, verse 4. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people. Talking about David here, who was a representative of Jesus at the time. Remember that now. A leader and a commander for the people. Surely, you shall call a nation you do not know. Call a nation you do not know. Wonder how you would do that. Call a nation you do not know. Thought about that. And nations who do not know you shall run to you. What's he talking about there? You shall call a nation you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11.
Everybody there? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, in other words, you were once a heathen just like everybody else, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. In other words, the Jews are calling us uncircumcision. You know, amen. That's okay. We're still Jesus' children. Amen. And at that time, you were without Christ. Hallelujah. Being aliens, yeah, I always knew I was an alien. That's okay. I don't mind. Now I can say it and know that I'm telling the truth. I'm an alien. Amen. Are you an alien? Alien to this world. Amen. And its ways. That you at that time were aliens, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. I'm no longer a stranger to the covenant of promise. That belongs to me. And everything in it belongs to me. And if it doesn't belong to you, or you don't know what's in it, you need to find out. Amen? That's the covenant that God made with all of mankind through His Son Jesus. And it was finished when Jesus hung on the cross, meaning that it now belongs to us. And we have every right to claim every single item in that covenant. And you know what that covenant is? 66 books of seed. 66 books of seed. You got to plant it. It's like my wife said, plant it. Tend it. Take care of it. Take the weeds out. Keep the critters away. And then it'll begin to grow and grow and grow. And someday it'll produce fruit. And if you did a good job, it'll produce much fruit. Amen. And that fruit will remain. Hallelujah. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I don't know how I made it 47 years in the world without God. I didn't. He was there, taking care of me because someone was praying for me. I just didn't know it. Amen. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. See, we're talking about nations that you would go to that you didn't know, and nations that would run to you. When they see what you have, they're going to come running to you from every nation of the world, every nation of the earth, wanting what you have. That's why I'm going to Africa. I'm going to Africa because people down there want more of God. And I'm going down there not to see what I can get from them. I'm going down there to give them everything that God's ever given me and everything He's going to give me while I'm there. And if He doesn't give it to me while I'm there, I'm going to cry out for it. Because I know that He has a plan and a purpose for my pastor and myself going. Amen? I know that we aren't going down there just to have a good time. We're going to be working. And that's okay. I love it. I love work. Especially when it's for the Lord. Because He will be my strength. Amen? Back to Isaiah. Hallelujah. And nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel. For He has glorified you. How many of you believe the Lord has glorified you? Scripture just said He had, if you believe in Him. I believe He has. Doesn't mean I take His place. Just means He's glorified me to be an example of Him. Amen. To shine in a dark world so that people can find the way to Him. Hallelujah. And then go to nations that haven't called? Matthew 28. We all know the Great Commission, 28 verses 19 and 20. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to all the nations. Hey, isn't that what Isaiah just said? You're going to go to nations that you don't know? Hallelujah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Gosh, that sounds familiar. Isn't that in the New Testament somewhere? How about John chapter 8, verse 21? Not the exact words, but it's the same thing. John chapter 8, verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin, because where I go, you cannot come. Amen. Verse 24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. How about Romans chapter 10? Verse 13. This is one of my favorite ones. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How are they going to know to call on the name of the Lord unless we go to the nations? The nations can be right out here on the streets of Bremerton, people. Because they're not part of us. That makes them aliens or us aliens to them. And therefore, we need to be going to them. Amen? Hallelujah. But we need to take... What message do we need to take them, though? Doom and gloom? Or the abundant life? Amen. We need to tell them about the abundant life that Jesus has for them. If they'll put their faith in him, if they'll step over the line, get out of their head and call upon the name of the Lord and say, be my Lord, be my Savior. Come and take my life and run it for me. Take their hands off from it. How many of you drive down the road, take your hands off your steering wheel in your car? It's hard, isn't it? But that's what Jesus is asking us to do with our life. He says, take your hands off and let me drive. Amen? Hallelujah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. See, we've got an action that we've got to tell them they have to do. All of us has already done it, right? We've already sought the Lord. We've already called upon him. We've already forsaken our wicked ways, I hope. I don't think anybody's sitting in here with wicked ways, because I believe the Spirit of the Lord would already have pointed you out. Amen? But we need to take that to them. You need to make a change in your life, and here's how you do it. Okay, amen? You don't have to do it first, but you have to do it after you take Jesus and let him help you with it. You know, and you say, let him return to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy on him. How will the Lord have mercy on him? Well, Psalm 103, verse 11, is a good example. Psalm 103:11, verses 11 and 12. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy. How high are the heavens above the earth? Does anybody know? Have they measured it yet? How far it goes? I don't think scientists know how far it goes still. I think they're still trying to find out the end of the... They know how far our universe goes, but they know there's stuff beyond it. That's the heavens. How high, for as far as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Fear him, fear him, fear him. No, fear him in awe, call upon his name, and submit yourself to him. That's what that means. Amen? That doesn't mean be afraid of him and run from him. That means fear him, reverence him. Amen? Hallelujah. And I like this one. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. If you drive east, you will never get west. Ever. It can't happen. Think about it. If the earth was flat, maybe you could, but the earth isn't flat, it's round. If you drive east and the waters and the oceans weren't in your way, you would always be driving east. You would never be going west. He has removed our transgressions that far. That's not hiding them or blotting them out, people. That is eradicating them. Amen. They are gone. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Praise the Lord. And then look at Psalm 130, verse 7. I love these psalms, man. They're good. Verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord. Gee, hope in the Lord. Not the world. Hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there's mercy. There ain't no mercy in the world, people. They just soon cut your throat as to look at you, some of those people out there. For with the Lord there's mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. Not just redemption, but abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all of his iniquities. I don't know about you, but I'm part of Israel now. When I took the Lord as my Lord and Savior, I became part of Israel. I've been grafted in. I may not be a natural Israel, but I've been grafted in. I'm part of the tree now, people. I'm a son of God, and I belong to him, and he belongs to me, and everything that he has is mine.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Back to Isaiah. For he will abundantly pardon. Verse 7. Moving on to 8. For my thoughts, oh, this is good too. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. You don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know what I've got planned for you. Take your hands off. Let me drive. Come on. Let me drive. Get in the back seat. It's hard to do, isn't it? I know it is for me. But that's what he's telling us. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Amen? And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He sees the big picture. We see a piece. We look through that little side wing vent window on the older cars that had the little tip-out wing vents. That's what we're looking through. He's looking through the picture window, the big bay picture window. He sees it all. And we see that little piece. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 10. For as the rain... No, I don't want to go to verse 10 yet. Yeah, I do. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and they do not return there, but water the earth. They water her seeds. My seeds. Our seeds. Amen? Yours, if you've planted anything. Hallelujah. And they make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. I got to tell you this. My wife and I didn't plan this. The Lord gave me my thing 3 weeks ago, and she did hers separately. And we didn't talk. So I know the Holy Ghost was in on this. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. How many of you are eaters? How many of you? Every hand should have been up. If you're not eating, you're dying. Amen? How many of you are sowers? Every hand should be up again. Amen? How many of you know that not all your seed is for eating? And not all your seed is for sowing either. Amen. So shall my word be, 66 books of seed. Come on. So shall my word be, 66 books of seed right here. Put at our disposal to use in accordance with the way he wrote it. We can do with it whatever he said we could do with it. Amen. Come on, you did the confession with me beforehand. I'm not hearing any amens over it. This is 66 books of seed that you can do with what you want as long as it's in accordance with the way he wrote his word. Amen? So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that for which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I did not plant seed in my garden and expect nothing to happen. And when nothing did happen, I got upset. I started speaking over it. Because he said everything I put my hand to will prosper. Amen? And I'll tell you what. I planted a little close together. We're overrun with squash plants. But that's okay. We'll share. Amen? Hallelujah. I lost my place. Go over to Romans chapter 10. Don't lose your place in Isaiah, though. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10. How many of you think that's a good chapter? Amen. I think it's an awesome chapter. It's got a lot of good things in it, man. If it hadn't been for Romans chapter 10, I probably wouldn't be here right now. Hey, come on. That if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, if it hadn't been for Romans chapter 10, verse 9, I wouldn't be here. But we're going to verse 16. Amen? Oh, let's back up to 14. I got to read all of that. Come on. Verse 14. Josh, stand to your feet a minute. Would you? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall, come up here. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Get over in the middle. Please. Preacher Josh. Okay? You preach your word? Every chance you get, right? Just stand there for a minute. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Have you ever been sent anywhere? And I'm not talking about just a mission like going to Africa. I'm talking about just locally even. Has the Lord ever sent you somewhere? Okay. Amen? But he also sent you to Africa, right? Amen? Sending me too. Hallelujah. I'm not a preacher though. I'm a teacher. There's a fine line sometimes. How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written. But you put up on the thing. Sideways. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Is that a beautiful foot? If anybody says no, I'm going to have you up here and pray for you. Because that's a beautiful foot. That's the foot of a preacher of the gospel of good news. Come on. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, brother. I didn't mean to embarrass you. Yeah, I did. I know I didn't. Hallelujah. But they have not... Oh, this is the sad part. But they have not all obeyed. They have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? How many times have you preached to someone and they haven't believed you?
Yep.
You know? How many times have you preached to someone and they haven't believed you? I can't count the number. It's surely greater than the number of those who has believed, but that doesn't matter. Don't let it stop you. They need to hear about the abundant life. They need to know what God has for them. If they'll just let you tell them, you've done your job. If they won't let you tell them, try anyways. Men, step on their foot so they can't get away. No, I didn't say that. I've done that. Not so they couldn't get away. It was accidental, but they were trying to get away when it happened. But they have not all obeyed. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
But I say, have they not heard? If you've done your job, if you've told them about the abundant life that God has for them, about how they can come and buy and drink and eat and not spend any money, and yet go home full, drunk, full of joy, you've done your job. Amen? Hallelujah. Back to Isaiah. Verse 11, one more time. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. It shall prosper. It shall prosper.
Yes.
Come on, it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. Now that's God talking. But I'm going to tell you what, right now on this earth in this time, we are His mouthpiece, and we are supposed to be speaking forth His word that goes forth to do what He said it would do in His book. Amen? And you need to watch what you're speaking. You need to make sure that what you're speaking is what God said. Amen? You don't walk up and say, I got a cold. Or, I always get the flu at this time of year. Come on, that's not God's word. I don't get colds. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen? I don't get sick because sickness and disease are of the devil. And the devil hath no place in me. Amen? That doesn't mean it's not going to try. But my mouth is going to say what God said about it. And I'll tell you what, if you'll start doing that, you'll start seeing a change in your physical being. Amen? Verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. How many of you have been out in the woods and had the hills and the mountains sing to you? How many hands? Come on, I'm seeing hands. Believe it or not, you people up front, I'm seeing hands. I've heard them sing to me. You've got to have ears to hear. Amen? They will sing to you. They will talk to you. The trees will clap to you. Amen? Oh, that's coming up. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the fields shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. In the times over in the countries where this was written, the manuscripts came from, cypress wood was one of the most valued building woods there was. They made everything out of it. Trees, they made their tabernacles, they made ships, houses. Cypress wood was one of the strongest, straightest, most desired woods. So instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. That's a form of prosperity. And instead of the briar, the myrtle tree. Now I'm not sure what myrtle's used for. I didn't look that up. But I know the cypress was well used. But I'm sure it was good. It had to be because it came up instead of something that was bad. God doesn't do anything that's bad. He doesn't give us anything that's bad. Sickness and disease isn't from God. It's from the devil. I said it's from the devil.
Amen.
Amen. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. An invitation to the abundant life. That whole chapter in Isaiah, that's what it's about. An invitation to every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. Most of us should already be walking in that abundance. If we're not, it's our fault. Did you hear me? It's our fault. Because He gave the invitation. Did you answer the phone? Did you RSVP? the invitation? You know, you plan a party and you send out invitations and you send it to a dozen people and you get two replies. Who's going to get blessed? The 20 or the 2? I can tell you which, the 2. Amen? When Jesus put out the call, every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth was called. I believe that every man, woman, and child that ever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus is called and has a ministry. Okay? If they don't answer the call, they don't find out what the ministry is. Now, I didn't say they were called to the fivefold ministry. I didn't say they were called to the pulpit. I said they have a ministry. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 if you don't believe me. Every born-again creature has the ministry of reconciliation, if nothing else. That's a ministry. What an honor to have that ministry. What do you do with it? You take Jesus by one hand and you take the sinner by the other hand and you introduce them. I mean, I can't think of a better ministry myself. You know, I told my wife when we were asked to head up the personal workers ministry originally, oh, that's a privilege. That's an awesome privilege. Protector of souls. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you got your abundance yet? See, and I think that's why the Lord spoke to me during her message, that some of you are too content where you're at. You've grown complacent or blasé, and the Lord has much, much more for you. But you can't get what He has for you by not doing something. There's too many, I even hesitate to call them Christians, too many born-again churchgoers out there that think once they've gotten born again, they only have to show up in church and God's supposed to just bless them with everything. It doesn't work that way. It's not His principles. First chapter of His 66 books of seeds tell you how to get what you need. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. You're going to get what you plant. Amen? If you're planting goodwill, that's what you're going to get. If you're planting and believing for an abundance, that's what you're going to get. You've got to take the step to make things happen. Once you initiate the step, apply for that promotion, apply for that new job that pays more, whatever it is, and then you commit it to the Lord. Said, Lord, I've took my step. I've reached out. It's your hand now. Believe on Him for it to happen. See how fast it happens. Because I believe every time you do that, you're going to see it happen. You're going to get it when you weren't as qualified as somebody else that put in for it. Because you took the step and then you told the Lord, I'm asking you to bless me with it. He wants to do it. Abundant life. What does it say over in John 3:2? Or 2 John 3:2. Beloved, above all things, I wish that you prosper. I wish that you prosper. I wish that you prosper. And be in health even as your soul prospers. Well, how's your soul going to prosper? Be renewed by the Word of God. And once your soul's renewed and your mind's renewed, then your physical body comes along for the ride. Did you hear me? Comes along for the ride because it's part of the package. God didn't give us just one thing. He gave us a package deal. When he gave us salvation, it's a package deal. What did He say to that one guy on the cross? Tonight, you will be with me in paradise. You can be with Jesus right now in paradise because He said, on earth as it is in heaven. If it's paradise in heaven, you can have it here. He sits at the right hand of the Father and He says, where I'm seated, so are you. I know where my seat is at the great table. It's on the right hand of the Father. It might be a full seat. Because all of you are supposed to be there too. But it's at the right hand of the Father. You know what the right hand of the Father represents? in the monarchies, governments with kings and queens and stuff, the right hand of the monarch was the seat of power. Take Joseph, for instance, in Egypt. If you could find something written where he became, when he became the treasurer for all of Egypt, he actually was second in line to Pharaoh. And whenever they seated for a meal or a meeting or anything, he was at the Pharaoh's right hand. That right hand position is the position of the seat of authority. Whenever a decree was given, it went through that right hand. In all the monarchies, that's the way it worked. Whoever was seated there was the one that actually put in place the power that the monarch decreed. They didn't go out and do it themselves. They had a right-hand man, if you will. My man Friday, whatever you want to call him. Jake's the butler, you know, whatever. But that's the position of authority. So when Jesus says, I'm seated at the right hand of the Father, he's seated at the position of authority. But he also said, where I am, so are you. And that's part of the abundant life, people. We need to be walking in it. We need to be doing the same thing Jesus did when he walked the earth. But we should be doing it on a greater scale. Why should we be doing it on a greater scale? Because there's more of us. Jesus is in every one of us. When he walked the earth, he was one man. Now he's in every spirit-filled believer. Every born-again believer has the Spirit of God in him. Every tongue-talking, spirit-filled person has the Spirit of the Lord working through him. Has the power and the fire that Jesus used. Hey, he did his miracles by the same Holy Ghost. He didn't do them because he was the Son of God. I don't care what you think. He didn't do them because he was the Son of God. He did them because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he did that for a reason. That was our example to show us that any mortal man could do the same thing he did if he had the power of the Holy Ghost working in him. When he was raised from the grave, when hell, death, and the grave was defeated, it was done by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he made a show of the devil openly, right there, in hell, in front of all of his demons. He paraded that devil around and said, I am Lord. And you know what's interesting? Any born again Christian could have done the same thing. Come on. We have the same Holy Ghost. Any born again Christian could have done the same thing. But we weren't called to do it. But we could have. If you believe, you could have. When the devil comes into your life right now, do you give him place or do you tell him, devil, you got no place in my life? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Same Holy Ghost. Amen. We need to tell these people out on the streets about the abundant life. We need to tell them what God has in store for them in their future. We need to tell them, I don't care if you don't believe in God. God believes in you. And he has a purpose for you. And he has a plan for you. And he wants to use you. Amen? And I'm going to close with Mark 16. My favorite scripture. Well, one of my favorite scriptures. I got lots of favorites. But this one really is one of my favorites. From the time I got born again, he kind of made this like my scripture, I guess you'd say. Mark chapter 16. Let's begin with verse 14. Everybody know what a commission is? It's something you have to do once it's given to you, right? It's not a, you can do this if you want. A commission, when you're commissioned to do something. I know Nadine's worked as a real estate agent. You get a commission for your job, right? You don't get the commission if you don't do your job, do you? This was called the Great Commission. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had said they had seen him after he had risen. Ouch. Ouch. And that's after he had already gotten after Thomas. In front of him. And then they still... And he said to them, however, I still need you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. One version says every creature of the living human race. And we're not supposed to preach to the birds and the bees. Okay, amen? Salvation's not for them. They're God's creatures. He loves them, but salvation's not for them. Salvation is for the human race. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. The only way that you can receive salvation is to believe. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way, no other method, no other route, no other God that's going to get you eternal life. I don't care what those other religions teach. I don't care what those other cults teach. There is no other way. And whether they believe it or not, it's God's word, it's true, and God, believe it or not, God still believes in them. Amen?
Amen.
And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. How many of you in this room are born-again believers? Every hand. I was hoping so. How many of you in this room have had opportunity to cast out a demon since you believed? An amazing number of hands. The rest of you, your time's coming. I guarantee it. I didn't raise my hand. I don't think my wife did, but we did. I was 6 months old in the Lord when it happened. And I was the one the Lord allowed to discern the fact that my nephew was possessed. 8 years old. I didn't know what to do. I honestly didn't. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, because he knew. That 8-year-old is now 15. At the time, they were locking him in the bathroom at school because they couldn't handle him. In other words, he wasn't getting taught. Therefore, he wasn't passing. He tried to poke his own mother's eye out with a stick. I mean, all kinds of good stuff. After that episode, and the fact that the demon that was controlling him was cast out, and his older brother claims to have seen the demon leave, I don't know. I didn't see anything. I know I saw a change in the boy. I mean, he went from his eyes rolled completely where you could see nothing but white back to a normal boy with a gleam in his eye. The red fire that was there earlier was gone. He got down off his mother's lap, went in his room, and a half hour later came out with a cassette tape that was, what was he singing? I don't remember the name of the song. Had something, it was something about I love Jesus. Amen? He couldn't say that before this. He wouldn't say I love Jesus. He now gets straight A's in school. And it's, you know, your time's coming. All believers have the power to do that. Notice it said believers. You've got to believe you can do it. I'll tell you what, I was scared that day. I'm not afraid to admit it, because I didn't know what to do. I didn't have a foundation in the Word yet. 6 months old, are you kidding me? Thank goodness for the Holy Ghost. He'll take whatever you got and he'll use it if you let him. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. Didn't give you an option. If you're a believer, you're supposed to speak in tongues. That's the way I read it. Of course, you got to believe. And you can't, to me, you can't believe part of the gospel and throw the rest out. You got to believe the whole thing. They will take up serpents. Now, I don't really like the way it's written here. That's accidentally take up serpents, okay? Paul didn't reach down and pick up that viper on purpose. Okay, these, all I can call them is cults. These so-called churches that are snake handlers. That's not what was intended here. And that's why many of them do get bit and do die. Not what it means. It means an accidental latching on by a poisonous snake. You, if you're in faith and if you believe, you can shake it off and not be harmed. Now, if you're where you can get treatment, I would say still get treatment. Don't be a fool. But if you're out in the bush somewhere, like Paul was, what are you going to do? He had a purpose and he had a destination, and he was going to get there. And Paul knew it in his heart. He knew he was going, and he was going to be seen by Caesar. And nothing was going to keep him. Not shipwreck, not snake bite. Paul was shipwrecked 3 times. Bit by a viper once. Beaten I don't know how many times. Left for dead at least once. Amen? But he believed. He believed as Paul. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. There again, that's accidental. Don't go around drinking poison or stuff like that on purpose. Pete's sakes, don't be a Jim Jones colony. You know? If I'm off someplace and somebody serves me something that's got tainted food or the water's bad, that's what it means. If I'm in faith, no problem. And I got news for you. I pray over my food every meal, even if my wife cooked it. And it doesn't mean anything to her. You don't know where that food's been before we got it. Amen? Even if you buy processed food in the store, you don't know where it's been. You don't know what's been through. You don't know what kind of processing it's had. I get safety recalls on my computer at work because I work in the safety and health office. And you'd be surprised at some of the food recalls I see. Name brands. You don't see it. You don't hear about it. The stores pull it before you get to it. And if it's already been sold, oh well. I'm serious. If it's already been sold, oh well. They don't try to hunt down where it went. They have no way of knowing. You better pray over your food, people. And you better believe. Amen. Amen. And then the last one. They will lay hands on the sick and they might recover. They will. They what? Are you sure? How are you sure? And do you believe, right? Have you proven it? That's what I wanted to hear. Do you visit the hospital every once in a while and lay hands on people? If they'd let you in, you probably would. You got to be able to get in sometimes. I'm talking about people that you don't know. I'll be doing that in Africa. I already know. Pastor Ephiel already told my pastor. That's what he's going to do with me. He's going to take us to visit a hospital or two. He has an inn, apparently. He can just go in. Amen? Hallelujah. The abundant life. It's yours. It's yours. It's mine. But it's theirs, too. Every single man, woman, and child walking the face of the earth needs to know that God has an abundant life for them. And we need to get behind this county evangelism, behind Josh and Amanda and the rest of the team, and take it out to them. Amen? This isn't something I wanted to teach. This is something the Holy Ghost told me to teach. Because that's what He wants them to hear. He doesn't want us to take out doom and gloom to them. He doesn't want us to go out there and tell them they're going to hell if they don't receive Jesus. Like you've heard many times. They already know that. I knew that when I was a heathen. Didn't care. Didn't believe in it. Faith wasn't here. Because I hadn't heard the gospel, the good news. You know, I heard the bad news, and I can't even find that in the Bible. All I can find is the good news in the Bible. So you need to take the abundant life to them, the message of the abundant life. Not just preach to them. You need to tell them what God's got in store for them. What he wants to do for them. How he wants to touch them. How he wants to bless them. They need to know. And once they know, then it's up to them to make the choice. You can't make a person make up their mind one way or another. Just like you can't lead a horse. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. It's up to the horse to drink. You can lead them to Jesus. It's up to them to receive him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well,